All right, hello and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And this episode is full of quotes, including the title, which is awkward.
Well, not as awkward as the actual, the title they don't use anymore.
Oh, no.
Two titles they don't use anymore, remember?
That's true.
Two titles have been nixed from history. Despite the fact that I own two of the titles, not the worst one.
No.
I have a collection that has the second title. It's a 5-book collection of Agatha Christie that has the second title in it. And I have a more recent, and then there were none, from a little book depository thingy that I got that I need to... Because I didn't realize I had the other one in the 5-book collection, so I need to get rid of... And then there were none. Also, I have to read it, but...
All right, well, this is the...
Anyway!
Yeah, this is the 77th episode of Rescue Bots Academy. It is the 25th episode of the season. It is 5 Little Rescue Bots, written by Danny Stack. Last seen in these places, in these parts, writing, Shall We Dance?
Oh, okay.
So Whirl is possibly super high because she's just looking at a seed pod.
Because it's that cutaway. It's like, oh, it looks sort of like Jupiter, kind of like planet. And then we find out it's an itty-bitty thing, which had me thinking, oh, is this episode going to be one of those ones where the bots get shrunk down and go into a tiny little world? And the references at the beginning of this episode kind of lend toward that.
Yeah.
It's like, I thought that's where we were going, but that's not where we go.
Well, that one little root growing out of it made me think of Little Prince's asteroid.
Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, I haven't thought about the Little Prince in decades.
I haven't thought about it since I worked at a used bookstore.
So she's just hanging out with Chase, and then everybody else comes in. And they're all like, hey, guess what we've been doing? And Whirl tries to guess, and her guesses are all terrible.
They are quite ridiculous.
Mm. Yeah, including the small things. Yes, they're silly.
But that's when Chase goes to his mind palace to deduce what they've been doing.
Gets all Sherlock up in here.
If this show had a bigger budget, we'd see like figures and numbers sort of like whirling around his head.
That would be amazing.
No, not that kind of shit.
He's like,
I'm almost surprised he didn't pull out a little deer stalker. But
he's like, well, your boots are covered in like Everglades mud, so you've been in Florida. And one of you has clearly been chomped upon by an alligator. So you were rescuing someone from an alligator, and I do say he was a fisherman because Medic straight up has a fish hook embedded in him.
Ouch. In his tire. So, I mean, this was... So...
Yes.
A soft part.
So this... I mean, this exactly is not a miracle of deduction, but they're all pretty impressed anyway.
I mean, they're kids. They're easily impressed by minor deductions.
Well, Whirl is going to be... She's going to have to know this because her final exam on deductive reasoning is coming up. And they're all going to a wilderness training camp and Heatwave has designed a puzzle so fiendish that even Chase doesn't know the answer. Like, we're getting all the last of Sheila up in here. We're getting our knives out. Medics and Wedge, let's see together, we'll give them the edge. Rescue Bots Academy, roll to the rescue, roll, 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 roll out.
Yay, wilderness training camp. Jeez. It's going camping, it's a camping episode.
So they're headed off to Natura Island.
Sure, which is apparently under the jurisdiction of Griffin Rock.
Yes.
Yeah.
Despite... But like, once again, having a bunch of pine trees and lizards palm trees and lizards and other things that suggest a more southern location.
Mm-hmm.
Or a Jurassic location.
Yes.
Possibly.
It's like I was half expecting a velociraptor to pop up once they got there.
Do, 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 do. Okay, sorry.
And I admit, with a name like Natura Island, I might just expect that it had, like, a nudist colony.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, rescue bots aren't going to care.
No, it's true.
That felt like it should be a reference, like Nutria are there, or to, like grain bars or something. Mm-hmm.
But no, what who is there is Cody. And he explains that this island has no technology. And in fact, it even has like an anti-technology defense system. But I've turned it off because, of course, you guys are technology.
Also, this is where he mentions that he was given the switch to turn it off by the mayor. And I'm like,
yes.
So this is under Griffin Rock's jurisdiction?
Apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, it's entirely possible that the mayor, like, somehow bought this island and it's actually off, like, South Carolina or something.
I guess. Hmm.
Or it was part of the pirate empire of the Burns family.
Oh.
like they're actually in the Dry Tortugas or something.
There you go. That's a possibility.
Yeah, but it just seems weird, like, take robots on a camping trip on an island where technology is forbidden. It feels like breaking all the rules.
Well, that's where you go to do your wilderness stuff.
That's right. Hmm.
I need to go to a place like that. My last time I went camping, I actually got, like, 2 bars of signal. And I was like, ooh. I did not ask for this. So this is not what I'm doing here.
Well, their first task is setting up camp. And, Jen, I'm sure you would find this very simple, but the bots, for the most part, do not.
No. They are having a lot of trouble.
Medics cheats. Medics has, like, capsule core tents.
Yeah! Medics has, like, fancy self-set-up pop-up tents, and...
Yes.
Yeah, which, again, like, okay, the bots are fine, they're allowed. You shouldn't have cell phones or electronic tents there.
Yeah, I don't know if... I mean, I guess... I think, well, there are, like, self-pop-up ones that are based around, like, ring, like a ring of taut metal, still, yeah, it's you're pushing it, medics. You're supposed to be roughing it. You get a tarp over a string strung between 2 trees. That's what you get.
Adapt, improvise, overcome, or whatever that
that's right. So was. Next, they need to get firewood. Hotshot is like, well, I'll be the best at firewood, so I'm going to go off and get started. And then he mysteriously disappears.
Dun, dun, dun!
Which is apparently how the reference for the title works. Again, I haven't read that book yet.
Yes, I've seen the movie.
Oh, there's a movie? I have not seen
the movie. I mean, there are many movies. I've seen the one from, I think, the 40s. Pretty good.
Oh.
So,
which title?
So world
not the first title, obviously.
I'm pretty sure it's And Then They Were None.
Okay.
So World decides, okay, this must be the test.
She's very excited. She's ready. Yes. She's ready for the test.
Mm-hmm.
Also, at least nothing on this island could poison them.
It's true.
Because they're robots.
But then Hoist goes missing. Ooh. So World and Chase are still searching. But then Cody goes to check in with the academy. He disappears. Wedge disappears. Hoist disappears.
Also, they have footsteps, and then their footsteps just disappear, and I'm like...
Yes.
They got taken by mountain lions. Just pulled them up into the trees.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking, like, big snakes.
Oh, maybe it was big snakes. Maybe it was very large snakes. But I was thinking mountain lions. Because mountain lions will just drag you up into a tree.
Ooh.
I mean, I think after they kill you.
Right.
I
think they go for the neck usually.
Yes.
There would be a really big mountain lion that could drag a robot into a tree.
They drag you up into a tree for storage.
Oh, man, maybe it's Razor Paw. Remember Razor Paw?
Yes! Robots in disguise.
I mean, we did love Robots in Disguise, but unfortunately, Razor Paw was from the episode we could only refer to as the Brown and Ink.
Yeah. I remember that. That was unfortunate.
That was
so much brown.
He was an okay design, but like that was like possibly the worst episode.
Too brown.
It was visually definitely.
I mean, you can't be the brown bad guy in the episode where everybody turns brown because they're in the brown zone.
Yeah.
They're in the brown biome.
You gotta be neon green or something. I need visual contrast.
Yes.
Yeah, he should have at least had some kind of highlights. It was bad enough all the bots were brown. Ugh.
So much brown. Anyway, so Whirl, her theory that this is her test is not looking so hot right now. So instead, she's thinking, maybe something is going wrong here. Maybe Heatwave isn't, like, abducting everybody like Jigsaw. So they've got a battery, and sure enough, one of these weird, like, hovering balls turns up and zaps them all to a junkyard where we are once more confronted by a bit of Rescue Bots continuity. It's the Scrap Master.
Yay!
Yeah, for a split second, I thought, oh, wait, they zapped him to Denny's junkyard? But I was like, oh, no, it's just the Scrap Island. And yeah, Scrap Master again.
Yay!
Yes.
Very exciting to see that throwback.
So, Whirl, much as you're supposed to do when you fight, like, one of those, like, General Dynamics robot dogs, she yanks out its battery.
Good job. She's smart. She knows how to fight the cops.
Yes. So they get back, and it turns out that this anti-technology defense was, in fact, not properly shut down. Probably because you got it from the mayor.
Good job.
And I wonder if this is the island of misfit tech that they were sent to here.
I mean, presumably.
Well, yeah, since it's a Scrap Master, I would assume
yeah,
so.
Yeah, since it's where the Scrap Master is.
Yeah, unless there's more than one Scrap Master.
Well,
because apparently the Scrap Master is going to reappear.
Yeah, they kind of did say Scrap Master in a way. It's as in multiple Scrap Masters could exist.
Yes.
But,
All right, so, where was I?
And then we get to the wrap-up of the episode when Heatwave finally arrives, kind of, in hiding.
In a hilarious tree costume.
Yeah. I'm fast-forwarding to the episode. Like, they do pull the battery out, and then they're going to teleport back off the island, back from the Scrap Island to the other island. And Hotshot has the bright idea of, I'll stick the battery back in the Scrap Master, because we don't want to kill it.
Well, because they need to leave things. They're leaving no trace. That's important when you go camping.
Which, again, it's always weird when, like, Hotshot is the one that knows the moral of the episode.
That does something sensible.
Yes, they turn him back on, they warp back, and then there's a stupid-looking tree.
Yes, it is. It looks like he's about to huck some apples at Dorothy.
Well, first I thought he was going to, like, drop the tarp that was the tree in front of him like he was a ninja from a very bad anime or something. But no, he just turns around and his face is coming out of the tree.
Yes.
And he's glad that we're all... deduced that it was the wrong kind of tree and bark style for this island. It's like, that was his master plan.
That was the real test.
Yes.
And then that brings us to our second episode of our double bill, Good Advice. And this is the final episode of the first half of this second season. So after this, we are 3/4 of the way through Rescue Bots Academy.
We're going down that hill. We're picking up speed.
That's right. So this first aired June 20th, 2020, written by Jacob Soan. This is one of only two episodes that he wrote for this show. Previously did Mystery Museum.
All right, that was a fun one.
Yeah. And indeed, this one starts in a museum. It is Hoyt's exhibit of human suburban artifacts.
Oh, boy.
Sure.
See, I really enjoy when Transformers are, like, fascinated by simple, everyday human things. Like, I will never get tired of that. I will never stop feeling like that's the best thing.
Yeah, and having a museum, that's cute and weird, although this one is very, well, suburban.
Got a lawn gnome.
I was torn on what the hell joke to make here, because Hotshot calls it the burps.
Yes.
And I was trying to think, okay, how can I reference the movie The Burbs? But
great movie. Oh, man, they should have just had a car that has, like, a trunk full of skeletons.
Also, this is a good reminder that I own a house now, and I have no HOA, and I definitely need to get a lawn gnome for my front yard. There is nothing stopping me.
Oh, shit, I could have a lawn gnome.
You could have... I mean, I'm, like, in a place where other people will see the front of my house, but...
No, I could have goddamn anything. I have some weird, silly Christmas decorations, but, like, yeah, I could have a lawn gnome.
I know there used to be a place down the road a ways that had, like, all the weird concrete lawn ornaments out front. I need to see if that's still around, because I need a lawn gnome.
Oh, how many houses have you driven by locally that have giant skeletons on the lawn? Still in June.
So, I have not seen any giant ones recently, but there is a little town between me and where I used to live. And it's one of those places that's like you're going 55 on the highway, and then suddenly you have to drop down to 25 to go through this little town for a couple miles.
30, yes, that's pretty much all my drive.
And they have a whole, like, thing where a bunch of them have skeletons out on their porches that they decorate for different seasons.
Oh yeah.
I had someone, last time someone from the rescue came out here to bring me some kittens, she was like, what's with all the skeletons in that town? It's like, it's just, they're being wacky.
Yeah, they're being wacky and things. Let them have their fun. A few places around here. Like, but there was one, like, that, in a road that I don't normally go to. I went the other day because I had to take a detour, and it was a giant skeleton walking its giant dog with a giant cat.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
Yeah, normally it's just, like, some other places it's just the giant skeleton that's out most of the year. There's one place that has a tire swing with two skeletons on it.
Oh, that's great.
That normal-sized skeletons for that one.
Man, I need to... I mean, a 12-foot skeleton would take up my entire front yard because I just have a little townhouse, but I should get some more yard decorations. I need to liven the place up a little bit.
I have a windmill.
Ooh.
That is slightly falling apart at this point, but I need to get a lighthouse or something. Anyway, the episode.
Hey, once again, Hotshot's sports obsession... causes disaster again, because he, like, kicks a soccer ball and it ends up bouncing off everything and destroying all the displays.
Yes.
Oh, Hotshot. Also, at one point
Hotshot immediately thinks,
throws a pizza box, and then he's amazed that opens the, and there's stuff in it. And I'm like, Hotshot just assumes that every shape is for sports.
Yes.
If it's a shape, it must be for sports.
Yeah, but Medics reminds him, because he's the responsible one. Like, previous episode evidence suggests that, no, we have to clean this up now. It'll save time in the long run.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking at this point that this was going to be another episode about Medics getting on everyone's nerves by being pedantic and annoying, but it was not quite that.
There's a moment when it kind of is, when there's sort of a montage, but that isn't the focus of the episode.
Right. I mean, it kind of is, because it's also kind of about, like, the inner conflict of him, like, telling everyone else to do the right thing and then having to be confronted by doing the right thing himself.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's just, it's more an episode of he's become genre savvy and genre oblivious at the same time. Because he starts going around telling everyone, like, to do the right thing, yada, 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 to fix things, to prevent a regular episode from happening.
Yes.
Like, why the hell was it Chase the one carrying around a barrel of oil?
I think so.
Yeah, there's all sorts of crazy stuff going on in this episode.
Yes,
yeah.
Lots of antics occurring in the montage of him telling people to do the right thing. Of him nagging people.
Yes.
Of him being an obnoxious nag.
And I mean, it's not that he's it's like what the dude says to Sister Walter in Big Lebowski. You're not wrong, Walter. You're just an asshole.
Yes, it's that.
Well, Maddox isn't quite being an asshole. Like, there was a previous episode where that was the premise of the episode. This is just like he's giving out advice. It's like little prevention prevents a lot of problems.
So these two end up cleaning up this museum, and then Wedge is trying to clean up their living quarters from like a crazy amount of garbage in here.
Yeah, what the hell, guys? And throw away your wrappers when you're done.
Well, they do produce a lot. Like in previous episodes, it's happened too. Like they produce so much garbage for things that do not eat and leave wrappers behind.
Yeah. Maybe this is just all Cody.
Oh, maybe this is the thing we don't know about Cody.
Or, oh no, maybe Cade comes there.
Yeah,
and,
I was thinking it would be Cade.
Oh, yeah, that's probably.
Makes a mess once a week.
Just leaves the building reeking of Axe body spray.
And barbecue.
Well, yeah, because presumably since, like, Heatwave's the headmaster, he isn't, like, dumping shit inside his cabin all the time anymore.
He needs somewhere else to just dump his garbage.
Yes. Yeah. So he just does it in their hangout room. Man, Cade.
It's possible that pizza box wasn't one of the exhibits. He just left it there.
Yes. Oh, damn it. Every once in a while, like, short story ideas pop into my head. It's like the Cade's adventures with the rescue bots that we never see. Just causing chaos.
Causing problems.
So he's just going to put everything into boxes, but of course Medics comes along and he's like looking for a safety handbook and he just gets all this junk everywhere. And, hey, Wedge, if you'd done it right in the first place, it wouldn't have been a problem. Hmm. He's like, hey, I'm actually pretty good at this advice thing. Why don't I give everybody advice?
Yeah. It's admittedly the same advice, basically.
Also, Wedge is talking about how he needs to finish up so he can hit the gym, and I have questions about that.
Well, that's like also a thing that like happens in like some cyberpunk stories.
He mentions weightlifting.
Yeah, a guy will have mechanical arms but still goes to the gym. Like, it's a psychological thing. But these are pure robots, so that's also a thing. I don't know. It's weird.
So yeah, he's just advising everybody about everything, and he drops in to see his Uncle Ratchet, and Ratchet is restoring the Cybertronian ship they found back many episodes ago in
No, that wasn't the Cosmos. That was the one they found with the Dinobots.
Yes. And instead, he ends up activating Ratchet's diagnostic tools, which are these freaky little spider things that make me think of the robots from that movie Minority Report.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know, where he gets like the new eyeballs and they're like those little spider robots walking through this like flop house trying to find him.
I have not seen that.
Good movie.
I need to see it at some point, I guess.
Yeah.
Definitely Spielberg's best cruise movie. Which you need to.
Mm-hmm.
Tech was the other one.
The other one is that War of the Worlds, which I think is pretty decent.
Oh.
Not as good as my own.
I don't know. I'm more likely to see War of the Worlds. Oh, wait, did I see War? Maybe I did see War of the Worlds. It was
It's very 9/11-y.
Yeah. Oh, I think I missed the beginning of it. And yeah.
You know, it takes place in, I think, Bayonne, New Jersey. Anyway, so these things flee, you know, they get into the walls and immediately begin creating like gremlin-esque mischief.
Yeah.
Start causing problems.
And he's like, well, I could tell Ratchet, which is exactly what I would tell everybody else to do. But instead, I think I'm just going to try and solve this problem myself.
He has his little thought bubble inner self.
Yes.
Lecturing him, and he's just like, nah.
Yes. Well, first he's like, I know you're right, me. But then he's like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to do it my way. What do you know?
So, I don't know. Somebody said, Ratchet said these things to, like, kill everybody. Because
well,
they,
no.
they
like as Medic says, like, oh, they're programmed to repair ancient Transformer technology.
So they're just confused by Earth technology. They don't know what to do with it.
Yes, they don't know what the fuck to do with Earth tech, so they're just pushing a lot of buttons, basically.
So yeah, they're messing with worlds. Wind tunnel here, which really made me think of something very similar that happens in, I think, the movie Moonraker.
Mm-hmm.
Bond is in, like, one of the, like, that gravity simulator thing on the big arm, and one of the bad guys tries to turn it up crazy, so he dies.
Oh, I was just thinking, there's a Jackie Chan movie with a giant wind tunnel thing.
Oh,
is that Armor of the Gods, maybe? It's one of those around that era.
It's, I think, a sequel to Armor of God.
Hmm. I don't remember. Armor of God 2, but probably changed the title in America.
Scorpion. Oh, Operation Condor. Oh. I think it's an Operation Condor.
Wait.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know about these movies.
I was very into Jackie Chan in the 90s.
So was I. I saw, like, pretty much everything from Rumble in the Bronx, which is definitely in Canada because there's fucking mountains.
Oh, yeah. The noted mountains of the Bronx.
Whatever the hell. I think the last one I saw was, like, The Suit or something?
Oh, The Tuxedo. That's not good.
Yeah. No, it's not.
I think Jennifer Love Hewitt is in that one.
I just remember there was a British guy who wasn't funny in that movie, but has been funny in other movies.
Yeah, I saw both Shanghai Noon and Shanghai Nights in the theater.
The Shanghai movies were decent. Was there a third?
Owen Wilson and Jackie Chan's a pretty decent comedy combo.
Yeah, that's solid.
But the funny thing is, like, he'd be in these, like, long-running series of Hong Kong movies, and then they just released the newest one without letting anybody know that it was a sequel.
Oh.
Well, because half of them, they're like, aren't really sequel. It's maybe he's playing the same character. It's just, like, all the police story or whatever the fuck movies are. Like, they're only vaguely related.
Right, because they just released, like, Jackie Chan's First Strike.
Yeah.
When it's actually, like, Police Story 4, I think.
Yeah, but again, they're loosely connected. He might be playing the same character. He might not be. It's just a police-related story.
I mean, he might be playing the same character in literally a lot of his movies, to be honest.
But, well, yes.
Half the time, his name is just Jackie.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
It's about the spectacle, not the story.
That's true. It's true. I mean, you're sitting through some of the worst comedy bits you've ever seen in order to see, like, five action sequences that you're amazed anybody survived.
It's debatable. I mean, oh, what is it? Is it Hugh? Who Am I, where he has that action comedy scene with the clogs?
Oh, I think that is that one, yeah.
There's good stuff in there. There's some bad jokes, too.
I mean, it's okay. They're bits.
Anyway. We should do a Jackie Chan movie sometime.
Sure.
So he's scampering around trying to find these things. He finds one. He stops this one from killing World. Another one is messing with the launch tubes, making Wedge go full whack-a-mole.
Whack-a-wedge.
Yes. And then one goes over Hotshot just as he's trying to fix Hoist's Museum of Crap.
Yeah, it just scares him while it's on a pinwheel. Well, I don't even think it does anything. It's like Hotshot just turns around and is startled by it and falls backwards.
Yes. So he gets these all back to the lab, thinks that he, you know, I'm home free. Ratchet comes in, and then Medic's like is startled and just accidentally turns them all on again.
Yeah, but Uncle Ratchet has a button for that. It's like, no, just press the recall button here. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. You could just press the button. Good job.
And then everybody just troops in. It's like, the base is trying to kill me.
Well, except for Warhol, who's like, I want the wind tunnel to do that again.
Yes.
Yeah, it's more like, hooray, the base is trying to kill me.
Yay, yes. It's fun.
Yeah, everybody else is like, the base is trying to kill me, or I'm going crazy. I swear I saw bugs. There was bugs crawling on me.
And Max is like, yeah.
It is funny that when they were in the museum, how Hoist was like, oh, Hotshot, I really appreciate you being honest with me about this. And then Hotshot knocks more stuff over. Is like, there was a weird glowing bug on me. And Hoist is just like, I'm really disappointed in you, Hotshot.
Like, real fast turn.
So, yes, then Hotshot gets to be like, see, it was a bug. That was cute.
Yeah, so we're all good now, you know, all is forgiven. And Ratchet is proud of his doofus nephew. And they're all going to put Hoist's Museum of Junk back together.
Including vintage toilet paper.
That's right.
Yeah.
What the fuck does that mean? That is a good comedy line.
Yes.
Because what the fuck does that mean?
Why is it vintage?
Is it burlap? What is going on?
Why does the toilet paper need to be vintage? What kind of vintage?
It's just it's an old Sears catalog.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I will say, like, maybe I noticed it in the first season, but I had assumed, like, because all the kiddos, their helmet is some sort of hat.
Mm-hmm.
Like a construction hat or a ball cap. I had assumed that Medix was, like, the little medical cap thingy that's just a cap on your head. Just a skull cap kind of thing.
No, he's got
it's a backwards baseball cap. I didn't notice the brim sticking out of the back until this episode.
You've only just noticed the brim.
Yeah, or I might have noticed it before and just forgot, but it's like...
He's like Adam X, the extreme.
Oh, God, no.
It's just weird that it seems out of character for him. And especially since I came up with the idea, it's like, oh, that would be a good design for one of these robot kiddos. I was like, oh, we already got one. Shit.
No.
He doesn't have, like, the...
No Adam X the Extreme.
Hole in the front of most ball caps would have.
No. I'm traumatized by the 90s.
And that is it for us for Rescue Bots this week. I enjoyed both of these episodes. I think I liked the five little Rescue Bots better, but I definitely enjoyed the two. They weren't they were both pretty amusing.
Yeah, they were fun.
Yeah.
Nothing quite like finding an entire Titan, but still not bad.
No.
Yeah, a play on a murder mystery is good. It could have been a little bit more mystery stuff going on there.
Could have been a mountain lion.
And a Medix episode is always great.
Yes. All right, and that does it for us for Rescue Bots this week. We'll be back with more Rescue Bots action next week. But until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Blue Sky, we are on Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is at patreon.com/iaconunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you get access to our monthly special episodes. Every month we do a fun thing that may or may not tie into a movie or a series or be a movie. Sometimes we go back to our to-do list. And so for the month of June, we went to a completely unhinged episode of the original Dungeons & Dragons cartoon, where writer Michael Reeves decided to see how much he could talk about Hitler and World War II in a Saturday morning cartoon episode, and the answer was not a lot. So we watched the season 3 episode, The Time Lost, in which Venger, the excellent Peter Cullen, comes up with a scheme to get rid of these meddling kids by changing history by making Hitler win World War II so that the kids would never be born.
It's an ingenious plan.
It's solid. It's crazy, but it's solid. So, yes, we get to see how much the BS&P scribbled you can't say Hitler or show a swastika or et cetera, on a Saturday morning cartoon. And he was like, I'm still writing this episode, though. So that was a lot of fun to discuss. It was first time Rob, you know, one time me and David did a D&D episode. This is the first time Rob has joined us for one. It's a fun show. It's, you know, there is a lot of that, like, you can see what they were told that they weren't allowed to do. But that is also kind of fun. For July, since there is going to be an exciting new movie coming out, we are going to go back to the 60s Spider-Man cartoon, which is, it's not on YouTube and it's not on Disney Plus, but it is on archive.org, my favorite place to go for things that are not available in other places. So Rob has handpicked I guess all the episodes were two shorter episodes.
Yes.
Using what we now know as the Teen Titans Go episode model. Mm-hmm. But BotBots. BotBots also did that. I like BotBots.
Yes, we'll get there. We'll get there. That's our little treat.
So we will be discussing that next month to tie in with Spider-Man Brand New Day. And then eventually we'll talk about Spider-Man Brand New Day once it's out on digital streaming, because that is our way now. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to watching some old 60s Spider-Man, because the old 60s cartoons are pretty wild.
And it'll be the oldest thing we've ever talked about on the podcast.
Nice. That's fun.
That's right. Possibly the first show that was watched first by my parents.
Ooh, I think we might have to dig up some Beanie and Cecil to watch stuff that my parents were on about. But yes, that is patreon.com/IconUnderground.
And unlike Spider-Man, action is not our reward. We would like you to pay us.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, little as a dollar a month, because
as little as a dollar,
our expenses are not that bad, but hosting is not free, sadly.
As little as a raise from Jolly J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah. that miser.
Oh, and I guarantee you he will be in these episodes.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
He demanding pictures? Pictures of Spider-Man?
Indeed.
Excellent.
So until then, I'm Ra.
I'm Jen.
I'll have to dig up some Cave Johnson quotes. I'm David.
Okay, squiggles are squiggling. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Baby cats are napping.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at you, Emily. I see you.
Aww. All right.
I'd say she's a good baby, but she's drama.
Baby? Oh, drama baby.